Nutmeg Radio
with Lauren and Nadia.
Nutmeg.
You are tuning in to Nutmeg Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Nutmeg Radio. This week we have the very first guest of 2022 and are so honoured to bring to you psychological astrologer Danielle Beinstein. This is a very layered and profound conversation where we talk about all things from using astrology to create a deeper awareness of yourself all the way through to the current times that we are navigating and how it relates to astrology. We also talk about an astrological forecast for 2022 and the years to come as well. More than anything though, this conversation felt like a warm cup of tea to the soul. I hope that you enjoy it as much as we did. As always, let us know what you think.
You know, because we're behind these screens, I think that it's really disassociate ourselves with humanity, which is the complete opposite of what it was billed as, right? Like, this is going to bring us together. We're going to connect to people. If you'd traveled abroad, you can connect to your middle school best friend or your grade school best friend. And all of that is true, but it's made us consumptive in a way that separates us from ourselves, right? Because there's always more. There's always something else. There's always someone else. And so there's a way in which we've lost touch with each human being as a soul, having a human experience. And each person deserves the dignity of their own process. But because of the nature of our world today, everything is binary. You're this or you're that, right? And that historically has never turned out well. It's just never turned out well, you know, throughout history when we've done that kind of division, whether it's, you know, racial division or it's economic division or any kind of division. And I think that a lot of times astrology gets used as this thing where we just start separating everyone. Well, I'm this or they're this, and I don't like this sign and I like this sign. And but the truth is we have all the signs within us. We have all the archetypes within us. And so the question is, how do we relate to those archetypes? Right? If we don't like, let's say if we're judging Cancer because we think Cancer is needy or too emotional, well, how do I judge that within myself? Why am I making that wrong?
It's like shadow work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that is such a good call, because astrology has, I think, been, maybe it's because I'm in this world, but I think that it has been gaining a sense of traction, because a lot of people who,
yeah.
I mean, everyone knows their star sign, you know,
their
sun sign, but they don't necessarily know what astrology is about. But it seems to be one of these things that is kind of gaining more traction, and you hear more and more people talking about it, which is, I guess, a good thing. But also, from what you're saying, once things go into the mainstream, you get a very binary focus on things.
Yes, because they become watered down. Yeah. I had a client who lives in London, a lawyer who does a lot of work in Moscow. And he said that every time he goes to a meeting, they're like, no, Mars is in retrograde. We shouldn't do that. And I was like, in legal meetings in Moscow? Really? I mean, this is why I love what I do. Because I work with people from all walks of life and every single kind of profession. And I'm like, that surprises me. But okay. You know, so it is definitely gaining traction. You know, I think that it, like anything, it's a tool. And it's how you use the tool. And we have free will in how we utilize a tool.
It's a very profound tool as well. And I think in the right way, it can have an incredible impact in helping you to connect back to your true essence, because I think so many people have become, in the way that most of us in kind of, let's say our generation and the generations older than us, have been growing up in a way where our authenticity wasn't necessarily honored and revered. And so for me personally, I found it a beautiful tool in really being able to claim back these aspects of myself that I had completely denied.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's why I do what I do. I just think, in addition to that, the pendulum can sometimes swing to the other extreme, where it's like the expectation of the full self-actualization and self-realization of the individual has all this pressure on it. And it's linked to notions of a certain definition of success. And I think there's such an opportunity. My favorite part about astrology is that it can liberate the individual to say, not as an excuse, but, oh yeah, this makes sense. This is why I'm wired. This is why I need structure in my job. Or this is why I've never been able to have structure in my job. Or this is why I'm a person who feels most alive in an airport traveling. Or I'm a person who feels most aligned when I'm, you know, having a very profound connection to my home and rooting in my home. And those are, you know, extremes of a spectrum, but that overall feeling of like, oh yeah, this is how I'm wired. And I have to just surrender to that because there's great peace in that. And that is when things start to flow, when we're fighting against who we are and how we're wired. That's when I think we come up against some real challenges, right? Like, I'm wired this way, but I want to be this.
Because we perceive this, the other, as being better.
As better.
Now, because it's been perceived, you know, it's been
perceived
to us that that's the case.
Exactly. So in its highest, you know, expression to me as astrology is that opportunity to say, yeah, we're all wired uniquely and we all have this unique destiny and unfolding. And it doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be amazing all the time if we follow that. But it means that our life has a sense of natural meaning and unfolding through the process.
Mm.
Because we're so focused on the destination, but it's really that journey, that unfolding, that blossoming and that becoming that it's about. And what I love about astrology is the mix of both the core energy and the certain transits that we're going to experience that are going to highlight or activate different aspects of our learnings, our soul learnings. That's really what I find so mystical. It's almost like a cosmic law, but not a rigid cosmic law, or not a cosmic law that necessarily makes sense to our mortal minds, though our mortal minds want to put it in a container that makes sense to us. Right? If I do this, then I'll get this.
Mm. When did you find astrology?
So I found astrology actually when I was about 19 years old. My freshman year of college and then, or university is, I think you guys call it uni.
Yeah.
So we call it college. So my freshman year, started to discover it. And then the summer between my freshman year and my sophomore year, I lived in San Francisco, and it was right after the first tech bubble burst or was bursting. Just as it was, yeah. And San Francisco still had that feeling of like Haight Ashbury and Allen Ginsberg and the kind of hippie quality that it really doesn't have much of it anymore, but it had that. And so I spent the summer there and I took yoga for the first time and I started to discover Buddhism and I went into all of these esoteric bookstores and I really started to discover astrology. And I was like, I don't know why this is just a language that makes sense to me. Like I'm not good at any math except for geometry. It's the only math I'm good at. Like really. And that is really a core of astrology is geometry. People are like, how do you know that that is trining that or that? And I don't know why, but my mind is just wired for that. And then the psychological aspect, because I've been such a reader and such a consumer of human stories. I've never been interested in books that were plot driven. I've always been interested in novels that were character driven. And I've always been interested in theater or filmmaking that's character driven. I've always been interested in the stories that we live and had an aptitude for understanding psychology. It's just kind of a psychological astuteness. There's so many things that I'm terrible at, but those were the things that I was just naturally drawn to. And so I started to study astrology and I did it kind of privately, not kind of, I did it privately. Cause I then transferred and went to New York University and I was around a lot of artists, but I kind of kept it still. It wasn't what it is now. Right. And then I was in media and film and some political media, and I just kept hitting a wall. I was like, this is not satisfying me. And then I had this relationship that blew up in my face, and I was like, I have to do some soul searching here. I was about 29, so right at the Saturn return, the famous Saturn return. I was like, I have to do some soul searching. And so I went and I got this master's in spiritual psychology. And in that process, as I cleared a lot of the debris and I kind of did that inner work, I didn't go to that program to be a spiritual psychologist. I originally went to that program for my own self-development. And then the process was like, actually, this is what I'm naturally drawn to anyway. And what if I layer in the astrology? And that's really what happened. And it was not something I set out to do. Actually, there's a lot of ego war around it within myself. But I started leading these circles with one of my best friends, Paula Malice, and she's a doula, and we led these circles for women. And at first it started a donation base, and they just kept growing in Venice, California, and growing and growing. Like, we have to start charging for this because we're beyond over capacity. And then from that, because I would give astrology talks, and then from that, people kept asking me, will you read my chart? Will you read my chart? And it just grew from word of mouth. It was not something that I was still kind of trying to get into tech or media, re-engage in tech and media, and had kind of had these flimsy gigs in that arena. And I just kept being pulled in this other direction. This was the thing that was flowing. And so I surrendered to it. That's really the story of it. And the more I grow with it, the deeper it becomes, you know, and the more meaningful and rich it becomes.
No, that's so cool. Cause I think that's so true. You know, it's like when there are a lot of resistance happening in your surroundings, it's literally like there's bigger things going on that are making that resistance happen. I think that's something that I've definitely learned recently, is just to go with the flow, and where the flow is, that's where you should go, because there's just bigger kind of like powers that be like pushing you there. So I love listening to that.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, and also if you have five planets in Gemini, you are definitely meant to like move with the wind, rather than have this really ardent, depends on where it is in your chart, but this really kind of ardent, specific singular goal, right? I think that, you know, security means different things to different people. One of the things that my boyfriend and I, early on in our relationship, what he brought to the table was, what does that word mean to you? Because was raised in New Zealand and I was raised in Manhattan, and we came from different religions and different backgrounds. I mean, literally anything, we're in polar opposite ends of the spectrum, no matter what it was. And so we started to really bring this concept of, what does that word mean to you? And in these memes, right, And memes have a lot of artistic purposes and a lot of creative and cultural purposes that are fantastic. But a lot of what can come with it is this kind of reductive quality, right? So security, as an example, means different things to different people. Like working at a corporate job to me never felt secure because it felt like I was giving my power over to someone else, right? Whereas following my intuition, developing my own skills, qualitative and quantitative, and moving with the flow always felt like security to me. It still does. Rather than needing something that's concrete outside of myself, because then I'm giving myself over to that thing in a way that didn't feel secure to me. Now, other people may have a very different experience of that. And we like to say, oh no, one is secure and one is not. But our perceptual reality and our perceptual filter is going to lead us to different belief systems, right? Emotions follow thought. So having that deeper dive of saying, like, what does that word mean to you? And a lot of times when I'm working with clients, I really try and listen. What is the wording that they're using? How are they framing things? What is their conditioning? Right? If I have a client who was born, this is an example I use a lot, but if I had a client who was born, let's say during the fall of the Berlin Wall, or like came of age during the fall, that conditioning is going to be very different than someone who was raised in Japan in the 90s or raised in Miami, Florida or Kenya. You know, it's like the conditioning matters. And so words matter and they mean different things to different people. So I really try and look underneath and say, and ask questions to say like, well, what, you know, where are you going with that? Where is that perception coming from? Which I think you might appreciate as a Gemini, and you might appreciate as a Pisces as well, you know, that kind of fluidity.
It's kind of funny. I think people find me as a person a little bit annoying because I literally just go with the flow. Like I'm just going to go and do this, but then I might change my mind and go and do that. And Yeah. I mean, I love it. That's how I am. This is my thing that like drives my family mental. They're like, oh God, just make your mind up, make a plan, stick with it. And now I've kind of decided it's like, if there's some options on the table, I'm like, oh, I'll get back to you and I'll let you know, because I'm not going to make that plan because I'm probably going to change my mind. It's not my fault.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. What is your sun sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, love
so
Virgos.
Also adaptable.
This is so bad to even say that because we're just talking about you shouldn't put things in boxes, but you know.
Yeah, but all three of these signs, Virgo, Pisces, and Gemini, are mutable energy. So they're adaptable, right? Virgo is mutable earth, so it's kind of like clay. Gemini is mutable air, so the ideas shift, right? Pisces is mutable water. Kind of here and there and nowhere all simultaneously can evaporate, right? That's that kind
of explains my life. Yeah.
So I think that it's, like I said, it's an amazing tool, but the meat of my work is underneath. What's the meat underneath? What's the soulfulness? What are the psychological and physical and emotional manifestations of that core energy in that individual.
Mm. What do you feel as though, or your favorite kind of placement to focus on when it, mm-hmm. I know there are so many different, there are all of the planets and then there's obviously the housing system and then there are the planets that are within the different houses. So there are a lot of things to take into account, but what would you say that would be your favorite kind of placement to look at?
I don't know that it's favorite. I think the places that I look at that reveal a lot would be the moon and the aspects of the moon, the sign, the placement of the moon. I would say fourth house energy. What's the conditioning? What's the roots similar to the moon? And I take a great deal into account around the outer planet transits, because the outer planet transits, which are Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, those are kind of like the universe's hand in our soul's unfolding. they're going to be the planets that throw a wrench in the plans or help solidify the plans or throw a curveball or shift our perception, which shifts our reality. So I spend a lot of focus on the overall patterning of the outer planet transits to the chart and the cycles that they're creating within that soul's unfolding.
Mm. So do you feel it as though, I guess because the inner planets, you know, Mercury and Mars and Venus are all moving relatively quickly. So exactly. There are always going to be things happening there all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, a retrograde, for example, at the end of October, Mars is going retrograde in Gemini into January. So that's going to be an extended stay of Mars in Gemini and wherever that is in our chart. But by and large, these things, they move much more quickly. And so because I'm interested in the soul's journey and the soul's unfolding, I can get very particular, and I do that more with the natal chart. But the transits, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of focus on those transits unless there's a retrograde, so there's an extended stay, or it's in conjunction to another transit that's going to pick up that energy even more. And that's just from, I think, honestly, reading thousands of charts and seeing the kind of cycles that I do, just noticing what really has the impact. Because the thing in astrology also is that people can highlight what are actually minor transits. They can inflate them and they can downplay what are actually really significant transits. And so really recognizing which are going to be really impactful for that individual soul and why and when, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm, so do you focus primarily in that case on transits and things within?
It's all of it. I look at transits. I look at progressions. I look at the natal chart and the natal promise. I don't have a formula. Mm. I'm leading my deeper dive course, which is a very intimate group, just like it was with the first. And in that, we explore the way that I look at someone's chart. And it's a very intuitive, fluid process. And it requires an understanding of the soul journey and a certain level of psychological astuteness. But that's part of what I draw out. It's not formulaic. I'm not a formulaic person in anything. I don't follow any specific diet. I don't follow any specific regimen. For me, that just doesn't line up. That's not the way. I think the world is too layered and complex. And you're dealing with such varied individuals that to apply one singular formula to such different, unique souls, well, that wouldn't make much sense, right? You wouldn't give one diet to every single human.
No.
Right? So I feel the same way about that.
What about a vaccine?
Yeah, exactly.
I just had to say it.
Exactly. And this is really interesting. And this is what we're going through right now. So Saturn is in Aquarius. Aquarius rules the collective and the group, but also the individual and freedom. It's paradoxical, right? The uniqueness of the individual and the collective. It's interesting that it governs both. Saturn is all about laws. Well, not so much law, but delays, hurdles, being held back in a way, delayed, right? Uranus takes 84 years. Uranus is in Taurus, but Uranus rules Aquarius, and they were square all of 2021. So there was this kind of coming up against. And Saturn moving into Aquarius heralded in the Aquarian age. And Pluto is going to start to move into Aquarius next year, then backtrack, then really enter in 2024. And all of this, Saturn and then Pluto, this is all going to deal with groupthink, technology, the idea of the collective versus the individual. And the last time Pluto was in Aquarius was the French Revolution. The last time it was at the tail end of Capricorn, where it is right now, was the American Revolution. And both had to do with freedom. And so we're on this 250-year cycle around freedom. And that coupled with, we're up against very similar astrology that we were in the 30s. And what happened in the 30s? We had the rise of totalitarianism, right? Get in line. This is your belief system. Get in line. If you don't get in line, you're out. And we're seeing a cycle of that. And it's going to be messy for a while because you have the way that it showed up in the 30s was medical. People don't think of that, but like in Europe, it was like, it was a medical. Jews were considered dirty. Gypsies were considered dirty. Mm. And they were othered. Mm. That's how it started, right? They're dirty. They're celebrating Shabbat. They carry disease. They're vectors of disease. Literally, that was the literature that was circulated. So, you know, Aquarius is confronting us also. So that Pluto and Aquarius will also confront us with AI. How much power are we giving technology? Right. And it's going to be a really interesting time to be alive. You know, I think big tech and all of that and censorship, we've got an interesting road ahead of us. But like anything in history, when you push too hard, there is a backlash. It's just physics. You know, you try and control a narrative, you try and push something too hard, there is going to be a boomerang or a pushback. The pendulum swings. It's like, we go back to the French Revolution, right? It was like Robespierre, he was like, you know, leading the charge, and then he went too far and he went to the guillotine, and then Napoleon came in, right? I think I'm right. And then you had this, the wars of Napoleon. Like, these things don't just dissolve and evaporate. I mean, maybe it's possible. I don't want to take away a possibility that it will dissolve and there'll be this kumbayaing. Don't think so. I think we have a real reckoning in front of us that the astrology shows, right? And, you know, World War II had the Holocaust. Right now, we have a genocide in China happening. 1 million Muslims are in concentration camps. I know people don't want to talk about this stuff, but like, it's happening and we're distracted with all this other stuff over here.
It's like version politics.
Yes. And I think that it doesn't, you know, the thing is, it's like, it doesn't mean people aren't going to fall in love. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to have great experiences in their career or advancement, or that people are going to have babies or birth inventions or connect to the land in new ways. All of these things are all happening simultaneously, right? It's like certain individuals are going to be affected more than other individuals. It's just history. That's the way it goes. So I don't say all this to say like we need to abandon personal growth and personal development, because I think that is the key. The more we heal ourselves, the more we continue to heal. The more our hearts open, the more we show up for our neighbors and our loved ones, and we let go of division. We connect from the heart. I just get worried that with the Aquarius energy and Saturn Aquarius, that astrology will be lumped into this ideological bucket of dehumanization.
Mm.
It's another way to categorize people and say they're useful or not useful to whatever, you know, the perceived ideology is or belief is. It's esoteric, but it is true. We are up against it, right? You opened the door, Lauren, so I walked through it.
No, I love it. I'm here for it. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I was out yesterday working on a project, and I was meeting with quite a few people, and I was having a conversation with a man who was saying, because I live up in Northland, and a lot of people up in Northland aren't vaccinated, not about wearing the masks and all the things. And he was having this conversation with me like, there's just all these unvaccinated people up in Northland and da da da. And I didn't say anything because I was kind of just like, I don't really want to go into it. And then I was thinking about it last night and I was kind of like, damn, that was almost like my moment to be like to this guy, look, like it doesn't actually matter. Everyone is still people. Like, I don't really think that we need to be having this conversation. And it's just very interesting, I think, how like I just didn't want to say anything at the time because I don't really want to get into this kind of political debate with someone that I'm doing business with. But it's coming back to, I think, what you said before. It's like actually like working on the individuals and just sort of like creating like a more open narrative and not having these like, oh, they are like this and they are like that, you know? And I think then that's when it can have that bigger global impact.
100%, because otherwise we're just seeing it through these distorted lenses of this person is like this and this person is like this. And you know, that's the role of great art and literature, is to dissolve that and get into the complexity and grays of who we are. But it's just what we're confronted with, like what our souls are here to navigate. And it feels like a sudden shift because one could say like, oh, but like 5 years ago, things were awesome. But this has been slowly building for a long time with surveillance capitalism. Like Google and Facebook, they all knew what they were doing. They knew what they were seeding in the collective long before the public knew, right? So it's not as new as people think. Sometimes I feel like we're in some like Truman Show.
Yeah.
Scientific experiment, like surveillance capitalism experiment. And I always pay attention to, and I've always done this because I actually did my undergrad. We call it undergrad. I don't know if you guys call it that. It's like if you go your first 4 years of uni, if you don't get a graduate degree.
Yeah. Yeah. Postgraduate. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote my thesis on, literature as the moral zeitgeist, as understanding the moral zeitgeist of any given era. So I've always looked at film, television, you know, literature as almost precognitive, like knowing what was coming in or reflecting on what had been. And if you think to like the Hunger Games, it's like some of that feels like a memo from the future. Like you have this massive wealth gap. This just massive wealth gap where it's just like on one end of the spectrum, you have multicolored hair and like these, you know, great lavish ways of life. And then you have this dystopian reality for much of the population. And in a lot of the world, that's what it feels like things are headed towards. And think about all, I think you guys are significantly younger than me, but like all the storytelling has been like the Marvel movie, it's all dystopian. Like so much of the tentpole, what we call tentpole films, like the big budget films, have been these dystopian fantasies. And it's like, why? Why was that? And like the rise of technology and the kind of Frankenstein quality of creating a monster that you can't control. Why is that? Mm. Why has that been the collective storytelling that we've experienced, right? It wasn't everywhere in the 80s. In the 80s, it was all rom-coms, right? And like these heartstring stories. But into the early 2000s, these are the stories that we were telling again and again and again. So,
I mean, this is slightly off topic again, but I think that some of these writers and producers are almost, they're tapped into some kind of a channel because Lauren still watches a lot of Simpsons and she is.
I love it.
Oh, the like, Simpsons is.
They literally predicted like Trump being president.
Everything. They're like the Nostradamus of our era.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Honestly, love it.
Yeah. So it's like there's so many different lenses through which to perceive reality. You can look at it from the mortal lens, you can look at it from a kind of soul evolution, like why do these horrible things happen in the world, right? Like why do we have the Rwandan genocide? Like why? Like why is that? We don't know. We're never going to know. We're never going to know why these atrocities were allowed here down on Earth, at least not in mortal form. But it's like there does seem to be some kind of cosmic unfolding, and I'm not making any of that right, but it just, but it is. So what do we do with that? Like, what do we do with human nature, which can be both beyond generous and giving and magnificent of heart, and can be brutal? Like, how do we live with that all simultaneously? And that's a really challenging thing. There's no clear answer for that. There's no formula for that. And depending on one's level of sensitivity and taking that all in, it's like, you know, there's an argument to be made to like shut it all down, because 100 years ago, you'd have no idea what was happening in Ukraine. Like, you'd maybe get a letter if you knew someone over there that would come by boat and arrive months later. But this idea in modern world where we can know or what's happening all over the world, our biology isn't set up to compute that. I actually don't think it's set up to compute it. I think it's, right, it's like what's in front of you, it's set up to compute. Oh, like, did you hear this, that this happened in town and in this village, or the village down, you know, the village next door? But we are being constantly bombarded, and we're always bombarded with the most atrocious, well, some they keep out of view, right? But with the atrocious things, because there's all these magnificent, heroic acts of bravery, of generosity. We don't focus on those in our society. But they're happening. They're happening.
They don't
arguably matter. In equal proportion. You know? So yeah. I think it comes back to how do we treat the people that were around in our everyday? What are the choices that we're making in our everyday? And how much personal responsibility and ownership of our own soul journey? And continuing to go on the flight of like pursuing our dreams and pursuing love and, you know, the things that light us up. But it's a lot. I mean, this is, I genuinely, our biology is not set up for our current reality.
No, which is another reason why I think people's nervous systems are so shot these days, because we're just taking in so much. Like, how do you recalibrate after? We weren't built to, like you say, take in as much as what we're taking in.
No. And so it's self-care is on so many different levels, right? It's like, I also think there's been this kind of war against religion, which I understand where some of that, a lot of that came from, the kind of disillusion with religious leaders. But I think the need for prayer, for mysticism, for believing in something greater than ourselves is stronger than it's ever been, because we're confronted with problems that seem beyond the scope of mortal fixing. And I've also wondered if there's going to be a swing back. Obviously, there's been this rise in spirituality and spiritual books and conversation, especially since the 80s and 90s. Oprah had a big, you know, part to do with that, at least here in America. But I wonder if there's going to be craving of religion. I know several people in my personal life who have gone back to actually religious practices as a ritual, not as a separation, but as a, this is where I experience solace. This is where I experience community around belief. Mm. Because so much of our community has been wrapped around this sense of achievement, right? Or status. And I think there's a longing for community to be around something genuinely beyond the self. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like the yearning for that deeper meaning and purpose, and for that ancient wisdom, that soul wisdom.
I think that's like almost like a natural progression with kind of all the trauma that's happening right now. People are looking for something to help themselves kind of get through this, you know? Like, is there like a way that people could start with astrology, bring that into kind of like their daily kind of practice? Or is there something for people who don't really know much about astrology, like something that they could start to look into to help kind of like find like depths to themselves, to help them navigate themselves through these times?
I think learning the archetypes of each of the signs, just learning, because they're just, since ancient times we've sat around the fire and told stories, human stories, and that's what astrology is rooted in, the archetypes, these archetypes, right? So acquainting yourself with the core personality of each sign, and then recognizing that we're each a unique mix of those. That's a beautiful entryway. And then I work a lot with the chakra system, which are the energy centers of the body. So acquainting with that as well, recognizing where we feel things in our body, and a beautiful person to look to for all things, really, I think, is Carolyn Mace. But she has a book called Anatomy of the Spirit, which is linking the biology with the metaphysical experience and the spiritual experience. But I think more than ever, Nadia, to speak to kind of what you were saying before, is our nervous systems are overloaded. And so it starts with coming back, and it starts with coming back to our body and our hearts, and understanding, again, that we're all... Most people are doing the best that they can given the information that they have, you know, and some are not. There is evil in this world. I'm not a believer that there isn't evil. I believe that there is evil, but we do the best that we can, you know, given. And I think just starting to recognize there is a kind of cosmic law out there, and starting to study astrology from that way, that these things are always shifting and always moving, and to trust in that, there's also great beauty in that, right? So astrology can really remind us that we move through cycles in history, which is what we do, and we become the portal through which that energy moves.
Yeah, I found that, you know, once I really started to use your term, clear that debris for myself after going through a similar Saturn return.
Yeah.
A gnarly Saturn return. all for the best, but, you know, was once I kind of had that understanding of myself, and I did it through astrology and human design, was that I could really start to see and have that compassion for other people, especially people that I was really close to, family members and that sort of thing, because I was looking at all of their charts. And all of a sudden, these things these little idiosyncrasies about these people that maybe would have annoyed me in the past became part of their charm somehow. And I, all of a sudden, it just was like this switch where I started seeing these people in a totally different light, because I was like, they are supposed to be like that just because they're different to me. This part of them that drives me insane, like for instance, my mother has she's very heavy in Sagittarius energy, Mercury's in Sagittarius as well, so she just spits truth like nothing and it hurts a lot of the time. And once I realized that, it was like, well, that's she's literally doing what she came here to do. We need that. We need that.
And it takes the person-centered focus, and it elevates it, right? On just, this is like my perception, so my perception is the truth. It's like, well, yeah, it's all needed. All the stories are needed. All the perception is needed. It's needed, and it's here. So are we going to resist it? Are we going to say, yeah, that's exactly it? Like, that's what she came here to do.
Yeah.
And she's living that out.
Yeah, she was. She wasn't here to come and, you know, sugarcoat things.
Yeah. But that's the growth, right? Because when we're in resistance, or we're in massive judgment, or we're just filled with nothing but opinions, sometimes that's the role that we're meant to play. And often it just keeps us locked and separate.
Yeah, there's so much to it, isn't there? I mean, I don't know too much about astrology. I've just kind of come into it in the last couple of years. I mean, I've always been someone who reads a horoscope or all of that kind of stuff. But I remember when Nadia started, you know, dove into like my natal chart, and I'm just like, wait, what? There's like a moon and like all these other things going on. And now that's literally like, if I'm like dating someone, I'm trying to like find out like their details so I can dive deeper into it and do like a stalk like that.
It's very helpful. It's a very useful tool.
It really is, actually, on the dating front, because, and people often be like, oh, do you, because I'm dating, and something that I do, I don't know really whether I want to admit this publicly, but I will like just randomly get people's time of birth and so that, and date of birth, so that I can run their chart. And I don't, and they're like, oh, are you going to not want to talk to me now? Are you not going to want to see me now? And this is like quite a common thing that I get asked. And I'm always like, absolutely not. Like, it's, I would never say, I would never just black someone because they had too much thing or whatever the case might be, but it helps me understand them, especially like
you said,
sign, because it's like their emotional needs and
and
Venus, because like how they give, kind of give love and receive love and all of these things. So for me, it's just a tool that helps me get to know a person below the ego.
Yeah, that's it.
Cheat sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's key. And the someone's chart is revealed more and more the more you spend time with them or know them, right? Because different aspects are revealed through transits or different life experiences or different circumstances. So having that awareness as well.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you. I feel like this has been such a massive conversation.
Yeah, I tend not to do small talk. Well, unless it's about coffee shops in New Zealand and real fruit ice cream. You know, so then I can do the small talk.
No, because I mean, it feels as though, just quickly, does it feel as though 2022, how do you feel like it's different energetically to 2021?
Yeah, so 2021 was really governed by this Saturn-Uranus square, and we're going to feel that at the end of 2022. We're feeling it slightly, but it's separating right now. It's, I think, going to be governed by what would be your autumn energy, our spring energy here in the States or the Western Hemisphere, which is this Jupiter in Pisces and then Jupiter moving into Aries and then backtracking into Pisces near close to the end of the year. But Jupiter and Neptune are going to meet up in Pisces in mid-April. And that's going to be followed by two eclipses, one on April 30th and one on May 15th. And I just feel like the eclipses, because now they're moving into Taurus and Scorpio before they were in Sagittarius and Gemini, which just can be dizzying. I think these are, okay, everything's been turned upside down. Where are you going to find your grounding now? Like, where is your plot of land, metaphorically or literally speaking? And I think there is the potential of healing with the Jupiter-Neptune in Pisces, but also for more confusion. I think there's going to be more of a dissolving of... I actually think there's going to be a dissolving of these mandates, which is already starting to happen. But I think the aftermath and after effects, and I could be wrong about this. Maybe there won't be in all parts of the world, but I'm already seeing it here in America this week from the truckers in Canada and all of that. But you still have the aftermath. You have the aftermath of lockdowns. You have the aftermath of, I think, 29,000 small businesses in New Zealand shuttered because of lockdowns or because of, right? There's going to be consequences and to the increase. So I think that it's going to be more about the after effects of the past 2 years. And it's less about coming up against something and more about, okay, this is, we're walking in new territory now. But I think there is the potential of healing with the strong Pisces.
Mm.
We'll see, though.
So can you see like the kind of where the planets are going to be in say like a couple of years time and
yeah.
like so tell me it looks better there.
Yeah, I think like I said, I think this is heightened right now. And I think the Saturn Pluto conjunction in 2020, January 2020, which arguably energetically opened the door to the pandemic and all of that. And the lineup of, at that point, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, all in Capricorn. And then leading into the Saturn Uranus square, and then now the kind of chief signature will, I think, of the year will be the Scorpio Uranus, the Scorpio Taurus eclipses, and Uranus involved in those. And that's more change, more disruption. But I think that what we're going to then lead into in 2026, Saturn starts to move into Aries, and then we're going to have strong energy in Aries, and that's going to be a kind of new beginning. So I think there's kind of a dissolution that's going to come with Saturn moving into Pisces in 20, briefly next year, but more in 2024. But I think it's all the vantage point, right? It's all like, what's the perspective? Where are you coming from? But I'm hopeful. I'm actually very hopeful about the future. I just think in the short term, it may be rough for the collective, but that doesn't mean for every individual. I always think of like, you know, during heightened periods in history, I mean, that's what, again, novels and literature and story and movies are like, there's always the great love affair. There's always the kind of invention, right? There's always something unique that comes out of it. And chaos and destruction are intimately linked. So I think it's really wise. I'm a student of history. I've always been a student of history, but I always think it's wise to look at that. Yes, for to say, okay, things can be really rough, but also we come out on the other end. Which I think we will.
Yeah.
And I have hope for that.
There's no light without the dark, as they say.
Exactly. I mean, all those cliches are true for a reason. Yeah. They're cliches for a reason, you know?
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Denny. Where can people find you? Where's your like hangout spot?
Is it yes. So Instagram, and then my website and my online membership, Cosmic Compass. I do a monthly live call there. So it's a beautiful community. It's not just a call. It's like people sharing, really beautiful group. And it's recorded so people can listen to it at a later date. And it includes my courses and then one-on-one relating. Yes. One-on-one client work. That's where the bulk of my time is spent with my one-on-one clients. Yeah.
Amazing. So we'll put your details in the notes and all of the things, but thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful conversation.
Such an honor to have you on the show.
We didn't actually give you like a proper introduction because we just kind of launched straight into the conversation, but such an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, so my pleasure. And we'll have to connect next time I'm out there.
Yeah, totally. Right.
We'll go to Honeybones and yes. do our thing.
And Lillian or whatever the new place
yeah,
is called.
Lillian, yeah.
So thank you all so much.
Oh, thanks so much. Awesome.
Thank you.
So much love to you guys. Have a beautiful day.